Happy Monday, everybody. Oh my goodness, do we have stories for you. So you guys listen to Author Talk with me, Amy Russell, Valerie, and our lovely guest today is Samantha. So let's dive in. My daughter's at my door, so let me make this as quick and seamless and hopefully as loud as possible, shall we? So I gave Russell a heart attack this morning, you guys, because I was 2 minutes from being late. 2 minutes from being late. And let me tell you about my morning, and then we'll dive into my weekend. It's raining a crazy amount here, and it just started happening, and my dogs were outside. So I had to pull all this together, makeup, hair, everything, after being soaking wet from chasing my dog in the rain. That did not.
Okay, that kind of makes me happy.
Of course.
That makes me very happy. That's so funny. I'm happy.
We've pulled together, okay?
That's such a typical Monday, Amy.
Pulled together, okay? And, you know, my kids are all crazy. One's at my door. She's probably going to pop in because I'm currently ignoring her and her mommy.
Oh, there she goes.
Oh, you can hold it. Hold it.
Oh, two of them.
Yeah.
And the dogs. And the dogs, you guys. Like, it's just a fabulous morning. So, Russell, yet again, why I was almost late. So
this really makes me happy so far.
You know that's Amy's goal, to make you happy, Russell.
I know, right?
I live for it. I live for it. So on top of all of that, me and Josh have... She really wants her hot chocolate, you guys. Anyways, Josh and I got photos of our house last Wednesday, which is why you can see my background. Yes, there is a laundry basket in it. My washer broke. And so that fed to my weekend. I went to my mom's this weekend and I packed up laundry baskets with me. And my mom helped me do my laundry until Josh could fix my washer. So if you're watching, ignore my laundry baskets in the back. I have someone coming to look at my house, but we did end up getting our house successfully listed for rent. This is a struggle, you guys. This is a struggle. Successfully leased or whatever, listed for rent. And so it is currently up there. So now we are entertaining people coming. And so I have to keep my house spick and span and spotless. So do not go in my garage.
The dog's in the laundry.
Closet. I know. Or
White dog.
Oh my God. Or in my bedroom closet. You guys, we're going to make it through my weekend. I promise.
That's a country western song. The dog's in the laundry. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to pause on my weekend and let you guys go and let me address.
Why? You're making it. You're so far. This is the best.
These are classic Amy stories.
No, this is awful. So, Samantha, I'm not generally a hot mess like this. I'm generally more put together with a side of hot mess. But in the way that my life is for the next 10 weeks, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, probably. You're amazing. I had a mom meltdown this morning. So it's fine. It's complete, total mom meltdown. So I am right there with you. It's not a mess. It's life.
No, it's a mess.
It's life.
No, it's a mess. No, it's not life. It's mess.
Okay. So my kids are just going to join us. And I guess my dogs too. We're just a big family. Yeah. And they know when I unmute and when to scream the word moms, you know, for sure.
Always.
So who else?
I wish I remembered to wear a tiara though, because that looks amazing on camera. So.
So this is what we have instead of introduction music. We have Hot Mess Amy. That's our introduction to our.
I'm trying to pull myself together.
I love it.
I'm trying so hard, you guys.
It's awesome. Okay, anyway. I'll talk good. While you deal with their hot chocolate. Good. Okay, so I had a great weekend. I've been in the Caribbean all weekend. And if Amy was at all organized, which she is not, she would post up right now the picture of me scuba diving, which is very cool. Because we were scuba diving and having a great time all weekend and all week. And that was my weekend, scuba diving. We had a great time.
It looked like a great time. The whole thing was beautiful, just beautiful. Yes.
I got to tell you, one of the things I do on these cruises is my wife goes to bed pretty early after dinner. And then I go out trying to find parties to invite myself to. And my favorite group on every cruise ship is the crowd that gets to cruise free because they gamble so much in the casino. And after they finish gambling for the night, they all go out and drink at, and they always have a particular place. I always try to find that place. I always buy a couple of drinks for people and get invited to the party. And I got to tell you, it was a wild bunch on this last cruise. So I had a good time.
I did not know that was a group. That's amazing.
That's a thing.
I did not know that was a thing.
And that's one of the best groups to get invited to party with is that group, because they're crazy.
I have your photo. I just was dealing with a hot chocolate emergency, but I have it, and I'm going to show it.
Okay.
There's nothing more important than a hot chocolate meltdown, so I've lost my
Hot chocolate can be important.
I know. She took mine.
I totally get it. And you were glad to get it to her.
Yes, I thoroughly was. 100%. But
anyway, that's a scuba dive.
I love it. I love it. I've never done that. I've never scuba dived. I actually have a fear of it because a fear is a really loose term. Okay. It's a loose term. I don't want to get air bubbles in my blood. And I know me, and I'm going to come up because I'm going to panic. I'm going to come up, and it's not.
We didn't go deep enough to worry about that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. See, there I you didn't go. Know see? That.
Yeah. You don't have to go that deep.
Just snorkel. You could just snorkel and not.
Snorkeling for wimps.
I'm unsuccessful at snorkeling. I have tried, and I did not think that you could fail at that. And I have. I don't get air in my tube. I get water.
I would accuse you of not being able to chew gum and walk, but I've seen you do like 17 things at once. So I know that's not, case in point. So I know that's not it. So I'm not going to even go to that joke because it doesn't work.
I love it.
And we were so thrilled to have Russell and Melinda last week live from the cruise. That was incredible. That was a great, great time.
And by the way, in August, we canceled Paris. We're going to Greece. Actually, Greece is 6 o'clock at night for our showtime, so I plan on being live from Greece in August for our show.
Oh, that's so cool.
Is that another cruise?
Yes.
Yeah, those look amazing.
Are you doing the Mediterranean one? My sister did that
We're doing Greece.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that there's a difference. But my sister did the Mediterranean one where she had to fly to like Rome, and I don't know. It went up and down all that. I don't know none of that, but she did that. Mm-hmm. So, that's exciting. Yeah, I love it. Valerie, what about your weekend before I can finally breathe and talk about sanity things in which I have going on?
Oh, should we let Russell say where we're available real quick?
Where are we? Russell, you want to do your podcast speech? Go.
Sure, I will. we are rated top 10 independent book podcast in America. We're very humbled to be that. We didn't expect it when we got the notice, and we thank the people that listen to us. Most people don't listen to us live on Monday mornings, but they listen to us on our podcast during the week while they're driving to work or they're working out, and we want to thank them for it. Amy, where can even I find us on the podcast channels?
Yes, you guys. Even Russell can find us. Oh, my goodness. You can find us anywhere that you can listen to a podcast, okay? So Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Google, Good Pods, many others. Those are just where I go to look for podcasts or, you know, Josh goes. We just both go. Anyways, that's where we go. We're extremely humbled to be in the top 10 for indie book podcasts. We've done this for 8 years. It all started with Russell wanting to do it. So if you want to see how Author Talk started and how we are today, go over to our YouTube channel, our Facebook group, any one of our social media channels. Russell is fabulous at sharing all of our old ones and how we have evolved into what we are doing today. So go and do that. But make sure if you want to engage with us, I am very animated, talk a lot with my hands, somewhat controls what comes out of my mouth, not my facial expressions by any means. But we love engaging with you guys. So hey to everybody that is on engaging. Good morning. We love talking with you guys, getting your guys' questions answered while we are on live. Or you can catch our replays, like Russell says. I don't go back and listen because I don't like to hear my own voice, but you know, I eventually probably will. Who knows? But that's how you can find us. We're incredibly grateful. We're excited for all of the years to come. So, Valerie, what did you get to do this weekend?
I actually had a great, great weekend, and the weather here was amazing. So Saturday, I was my second appearance with the fashion designer here in Houston, David Peck, and we partnered with Melissa Williams here from iWrite. And so she brought her books. I brought mine. I did a reading with a bunch of kids and we had such a great time. We read the Safari book and the Australia book. Just the whole theme, we were all like dressed in animal prints. We had, you know, juice boxes and goldfish and we had a big powwow on the floor reading and reading with lots of questions. So that was awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. It was really good just, you know, having the kids one-on-one like that, just in a small group, and just they got the chance to talk to, you know, as an author and how did you do this research and is this really real? Or they shared their experience. I actually had a family from Australia in my audience. And so they're like, hey, this is great. This is great. So, but that never happens. You meet somebody from Australia who actually knew stuff you were talking about. And that was, I was like, okay, let's go. And then Sunday we went to the art festival downtown, which was amazing. That is, it takes over the whole like front section of downtown by City Hall and all of that. And then the big parks.
I miss that in Atlanta, Valerie. Yeah, I miss that art show.
And you can walk down all Allen Parkway. And so just art everywhere. There's wine, there's food, there's music. It's a great, great time. And I saw the Barbie box. I was like, of course I have to get in the Barbie box because why not? Why not just be in the Barbie box, you know? That was my weekend. So you can't go wrong with that, right?
Not at all. Samantha, what about you? What did you do this weekend?
Well, I'm in New Jersey. So we spent Saturday viciously guarding our basement to make sure there was no water in it. But no water. So we're good. Which was very good. And then on Sunday, we took our son to the Growing Stage, which is in North Jersey. It's a community theater. And they were putting on Arthur the Musical. We're big Arthur fans in this house, big TBS fans. So it was very, we love the Growing Stage. So it was really fun. The first one we took our son to was last year. We saw Pigeon the Musical because Mo Willems is obviously king in this house when you have a 6-year-old. But it was really great. We got to meet the actors and it's just a nice way to support the community. So we had a good time. And they flooded. Their basement flooded. So the heat wasn't working. So we were all bundled up watching it. And it was quite lovely to do all that together. But yeah, nobody was safe in New Jersey this weekend.
Wow.
Except for the Jersey people scuba diving with me. They had quite a cool day.
That's true.
They were very
and they were
cool.
Smart. They were smart to get out.
I don't know if they knew that their house was getting flooded, perhaps.
That's terrible.
And my daffodils.
Well, it's so glad y'all are safe.
Yeah. It's my everybody's daffodils were coming up. Now you drive through and the daffodils have been flattened to the ground. Like they gave up. They were like, we're done. We did our best. It's over.
Yes. Last week we had a giant hailstorm here and some of our wicker furniture actually has holes in it where the hail went through.
Okay, Valerie, that's so Texas.
I know,
that's
right?
So and Texas. Texas to shit like that.
But you know what? I was parked in a garage at the time, but David's car, he was able to park in our tree. But even some of our plants have we have a garden and they have holes in them. So I can totally relate to your daffodils. And you're like, no, come back. They're kind of like limping along, but through the wicker furniture, you're like, come on.
So I know we don't get really bad hail, but when we do, it's actually very surprising. Not like the hail you get, but even I think last summer we got the size of a quarter and I was like, I've never seen this before.
Yes. We've never had hail like that and where we live, but I was like, dang, that's incredibly strange, like epic. Mm-hmm. Speaking of things on stage, and I hope this comes your way, Dog Man is coming here to Houston. And I was like, they sent me an alert and I was like, oh my gosh, I know that is like a big, big hit in kids' world. That's like one of their favorite books when they get Dog Man. So hopefully it comes to Jersey so you guys can see it too.
So I think they just did Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And when I worked at a bookstore, we couldn't keep that on the shelves.
What is Dog Man?
It's another kid book. It's a kid book. It's like a graphic. Isn't it graphic novel?
Yeah, it's a graphic novel. It's kind of hard to explain.
Very silly.
Yeah, he's a superhero. He's a superhero, but he's also a dog.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's all coming your way, Amy. Amy, soon you're gonna have Dog Man and Diary of a Wimpy Kid, all of those things. So
many. I don't
Judy
know.
B. Jones. Do you have We're Judy in- B. Jones here?
Oh, Judy B. Jones, of course. Yes.
Of course. And then Magic Treehouse.
Yeah.
No, we're in Pinkalicious. Okay. Pinkalicious everything that's currently, and then Fancy Nancy. Nancy is what we're in. But now that my kids have disappeared and they're not yelling at me, okay.
Yes, tell us about this next week for you.
We can finish all of this exciting stuff in which I have going on. So I have a lot of things moving. I have some things I cannot talk about until they're fully in motion, but there are exciting things happening. Abundantly Social is branching out in different ways for indie authors, primarily in small presses. So that's exciting. That's going to be further down the road. I'm really excited about all the stuff that's going on. But this week is Authorship Summit, and I am one of the speakers at that event. It is March 25th through the 29th. You can go on my Facebook page, Author Talk, Sharon Jenkins page if you want, and you can go and grab tickets and listen to everybody that is well-known, that has some really good information for indie authors and helping them develop the fact that being an author and self-publishing is actually a business. So you are an authorpreneur, and this kind of gives you all the resources in which you will need if you want to go down that avenue. So make sure you check me out on that. Next March, so a year from today, I will be on the Publishing at Sea cruise that Judith Briles puts on, the Book Shepherd that you guys know. I will be a speaker on that cruise 1 year from today. So mark your calendars for that. If you are a huge planner, which I am not, but you mark your calendars a year in advance, I will be on that cruise, and I will be sending out information about that. What else do we have going on? On top of that, my giveaways for the Women in Publishing Summit is still going on. So if you want access to that, let me know. Other than that, we're just living and thriving in this hot mess of a thing. But I have something that's very important for all of you guys that go live using StreamYard or Restream or any other third-party streaming app. And you have groups like we have our Author Talk group coming up in April. You will no longer be allowed to live stream into those groups. Facebook is getting rid of their access, their API code for third-party streaming parties, which is what we use to go in our group. Now, we will still be going live in our group because Amy loves loopholes, and that should be my middle name, is Amy the Loophole Queen, because what we'll do is
By the way, that's a compliment, not a... It is. Yes, that's a compliment.
Yes. My personal Facebook page is public, so we don't have to be friends for you to see all of the information and goodies in which I put on there. So we will still be streaming live there, and it will be shared into our group. So you may not get notified that Author Talk is going live coming up in April. I believe it's April 15th, but we will still be going live in that group. But my page is public, so you are more than welcome to go over there and all the other pages in which I share our show. So, food for thought, some really cool, interesting, odd things are happening in terms of social media, for sure. But the Author Summit is happening. Authorship Summit is happening this week. So make sure that you go and check that out and figure all things out. Don't let being an independent author or self-published author, as I like to call, be a scary thing for you. Embrace it, because you have total control and creative freedom over your product and what you put out. So, with all that in a nutshell of my hot messness, and I've lost my hot chocolate, which really wasn't hot chocolate to begin with, because I can't have chocolate.
And Amy, so. I am registered for that event, and I was just looking at the lineup of speakers and presenters, and wow, it covers the gamut of just information and just so many levels, just like from covers to business, you know, all these different things, and just, you know, nonfiction, fiction. It's an amazing lineup of people. So I'm intrigued.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm honored to be asked to be one of the speakers with Sharon Jenkins, because she's the one that's putting it on, but to be surrounded by all of the others that are very influential in this arena.
Isn't it like over 30 people presenting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of speakers, that's for sure. But it's really great information in all walks in which you are in your writing journey. It doesn't matter if you're self-published, small press, figuring out how to market your book yourself. It's all walks and realms of that, right? So make sure that you check it out. I'm going to sit here and wallow at the fact that I've lost my carbo, my carbo hot milk or whatever, because I can't have chocolate, right? So I'm going to wallow over that. But Valerie, let's get Samantha talking about her latest book and her publishing company.
I am so intrigued by Samantha, your work here.
Thank you. Forgive me. And one of my cats
are joining us too. The kids are joining us too.
I know. And my cat has decided she wants
to. I saw that. So tell us, I love the one and done series, the latest installment. Can you just share a little bit about that before we dive into the new book?
So that is my favorite thing to talk about in the world. I absolutely love the one and done series. So it started when we first got our start. We actually created the company just to kind of give you a little bit of background, because we had really bad experiences with trying to get into the publishing industry, my co-publisher and I, and we had a lot of friends that were also struggling with that as well. So as one does, you make a ridiculous idea out of something when you're angry. And I was very angry one day and I said, you know what, we need to be a part of this and I'm tired of the gatekeeping. So we started Read Furiously, but we didn't realize when you open up a publishing house, you need to have books. So we started with our graphic novel series, The Mother Principle, which it's almost 10 years that we published that. And so we started selling it at the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market, which is this amazing artist community. We love everybody there. And so people were coming up to us and they were saying, oh, we'd love to read. What are you about? And we would talk about how we wanted to, you know, kind of make it easier for authors who are kind of rejected by the big five to get published and everything. But then it became kind of this therapy session where people were coming up to us and they were saying, I love to read. I just don't have time. And they were so, it was so hard. Heartbreaking, because people really do love to be around books, but they just, it's so hard. It is so hard to buy books, to have access to books, to do all that. So we started the one and done series as an answer to that. And that was essentially something that you can kind of see. I have it's pocket sized. So it can fit in your pocket. It actually fits in the back of a jean pocket. It can fit in your pocket. It can fit in your bag. And they are full stories. And they're presented in a way that you can read it if you have a long weekend, which I don't have long weekends to read. But if you have a commute, if you have a vacation. And really, it's just kind of a friend to keep with you. And you complete the story and you really have accomplished your reading goals. And I love short books. I think to do that is a high wire act. So it's really, really fun. Yes. To write this microcosm of a story and have it make sense in a short amount of time and give someone a worthwhile read. And a lot of our authors who've contributed to this, they've kind of said, well, I don't write this style, but I want to try it. So we get a lot of experimental things. We get a lot of really interesting things. And because of the price point, we try to keep it as cheap as possible, which is impossible sometimes with paper prices. Sure. But our series right now is $9.99. So it's also another way for people to take a chance on an indie pub, which is also something they're very nervous about doing, because we go to these shows and people will say, well, you know, we it's almost like a test. I play this game where we wrap up blind dates with a book and we sell them for $5. And people would rather buy a $5 book that they don't even know what they're getting rather than buy a book by an independent author. So this is a really low stakes way. And it's kind of a way to get people excited about reading and also a way for our authors to kind of share. So yeah, that's kind of.
Okay. I just had a thought. So you said like a blind date, like one of those like 5 minute dates.
Yeah.
So I guess if your blind date didn't go well, you still have an awesome book to go rely on.
Yes. We've had people come up to us and be like, I carry this with me. I hang out with my friends. I have a friend who's always late. So I brought your book with me. And it kept me company. And, you know, and so we really wanted to have a friend in your pocket. And so we made them that literal pocket size.
I love that. And so, so how many one and done series have you done?
So this year in September, we will have our 10th one and done. So yeah, awesome. it's so amazing. So next, I'm so bad with this, with the numbers. I always have to count backwards in my head, but next month we have number 8 coming out. And then the one I have coming out in the summer is number 9. And then we're closing out the year with Brooklyn Family Album, which is our first memoir in the series. And it's also, you know, number 10, and that's by Margaret Monette, who's our librarian. So she writes about her travels and she also does the research for it. So this is kind of her. And again, this was something she said, I'm going to write about myself and can I do this research for that. So again, it's experimental and it's super fun. So yeah, we really love this series. This is our best-selling trademark series. We are so proud of it.
I love it because you know, people can dive into anything like you said, you know, you're just like, I'm waiting on a friend, but I'm going to read this book real quick. But what is the average page length for these, since they're kind of like pocketbooks?
That's a great question. I am so bad with that too. So I know with prose, because I have to write the prose, it's about, they're on average about 17,000 to 20,000 words. So The Legend of Dave Bradley is about maybe 77 pages, but we play with form and everything. So there's a way to kind of stop and start. With our poetry, it's a collection of all different poems, but they usually run about maybe 80 pages about. And then we have a graphic novella, and that one, I don't know how many pages that is, but it's nothing is over about maybe 140.
What a fascinating, you know, spectrum of stories you have. That's so cool. And then, so do you get like, it sounds like you're going to have 3 this year.
Yes, we have 3 this year. Yeah. And it's, you know, we try to split everything up, but it turns out that everyone's kind of looking for these books. So we're trying to kind of increase, how many we do, but also it's, you know, there's not enough hours in the day. So we're very lucky that with the 3, because they're all different genres, we're able to give them the focus they deserve rather than almost kind of doing an assembly line of putting them all out.
So you said different genres. So what are the genres?
So we've done science fiction, just regular fiction, like kind of like humor, kind of comedy, true crime, graphic novella, poetry. We have our memoir coming out. Our poetry is always very fun and experimental because it's very hard to get anybody to read poetry, unfortunately, which breaks my heart because it's so beautiful. But people are very nervous about that as well. So we try to make that really accessible. And we have a dark academia version that was kind of like a mythological retelling. So that was really, really fun. So yeah, we try to mix it up. And again, we ask the authors how they want to approach it. And sometimes it's something that they really want to write about, but it's not big enough for a book.
Yes.
So it gives them a space for that as well.
And are most of your writers coming from the East Coast, or where are you getting your authors?
They're everywhere. We're very fortunate. So when we started, it was all kind of East Coast based, mostly New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And we've expanded to have authors in New York, new authors on the West Coast. We have authors internationally. So they're kind of all over, which is really, really nice, because then we kind of get all different voices, which is what we started out wanting to do. But it's really hard because everybody wants to write a book, but you actually have to sit down and write it, and life gets in the way. So it's really hard. And I feel like, I don't know, if I could, I would be kind of like that book midwife for everybody, but even I don't even have the time for that. So we're waiting for the authors to finish their book, and we're going to be here no matter what. So
I love that, the book midwife. You're like, I'm going to get this thing delivered. It's coming. I promise. And you guys edit the stories as well? Or they have to hire their own editors, or
No, we do the editing. We do the production, the layout. We're a traditional publishing house, so we try to cover all of the basis for that. But yes, I'm part of, I'm head of the editorial, which is where I got my start anyway. So it's basically what I do all day.
And the fact that y'all are called Reading Furiously, it just falls in line exactly with the One and Done series, because it's that connection, and you're like, okay, yes, I can get that. I can do that. And it makes reading accessible, I think, too. Like you were saying, people want to do books, but then not having enough time. So having that accessibility is a great thing. So, yes, so let's talk about this new one. I'm just intrigued. It says, you know, the Dave Bradley book. Can you share a little bit about that one, please?
So The Legend of Dave Bradley, this is a book that I wrote 20 years. I wrote this story 20 years ago in a fiction workshop. So when I wrote it, I was in my 20s, and I really thought I was very clever and interesting and all of that. I thought all of those things. And I really have to give it up to my writing professors who treated us as if we were capable of that. But I can't even imagine like reading it and being like, oh, you're writing about this, like getting 20 like stories of the same thing. So I wrote this 20 years ago and I just really loved it and I never published it. And so it was always my go-to for reading aloud. And over the years, I've modified it to perform it and everything, which is why it's called a performance piece at the bottom. It's kind of like a little nod to that. And so when we needed it for the One and Done series, I went back and I realized that I was not as clever as I thought I was. I was definitely.
I hate it when that happens. Don't you? Yes. I hate it. Usually it's the day after I think I've written the most brilliant thing I've ever written.
Oh, it's horrible. It's so horrible.
Yes. But the good thing is now you see how you can fix it and make it even more incredible. Yes. So.
Yeah, and I did, and I had a lot of fun, and I got to kind of take that, pay almost kind of like, you know, like respect to that previous voice and that person who was writing it and kind of put my own spin on it. So I got rid of all the jokes that are no longer funny. And I you could definitely tell the voice has changed because it's definitely an older person looking back on it. And so it's been 20 years I've been looking back on it, but it's really, it is a love letter to everyone who works in customer service, everyone who has experienced Dave Bradley's in their life. And it's really about a very confusing customer's very confusing reign of terror on a grocery store at the Jersey Shore. And that's kind of the whole gist of it. And yeah, it gets worse from there.
Wow. What a great description. It makes me want to read it. Wow.
Thank you. But it's really hard because people are now coming up to me as, again, a therapy session, sharing their Dave Bradley's from their customer service. So I don't know what I just opened with this story, if I opened up a good thing, like it's cathartic, or it's opening up really bad memories.
And so is the narrator from the perspective of like the employee, and just like they're looking back like, wow, how did I survive that?
Yeah, because pretty much.
And in a grocery store, that's even like more intimidating because those people come back. Not like a retail store where like, you know, you might be there to buy a dress or whatever, but a grocery store, they come back.
Oh, they do. And especially where it's based. I worked at a Jersey Shore grocery store as well. And you definitely see the same people, whether it's people coming down for the summer and the locals. So you can't really escape. Like if you have someone in the summer who's kind of a problem customer, they'll be back the next summer.
Can I ask a question that confuses me? Who goes to Jersey for the summer?
Oh, you know what? Apparently everybody. Because you can't get any. My mother lives down in South Jersey, and sometimes it's just hard to visit her in the summer because everybody is down there. You know what? I love New Jersey. I really do. But I don't know. I don't know. It's apparently the big place to go. I'm not a beach person though, so I might be the wrong person to ask. I do not like the beach. I would never snorkel. Like, Amy, I loved how you had the fear because at least your fear is legitimate. Mine is because if a fish comes up to me, I would probably faint.
You mean like if one came up rubbed on you?
Even if a goldfish looked at me the wrong way, I would probably. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me happy too. There's been lots of little happy quotes.
It's a good Monday.
It's a
good Monday when we can give him little things that make him happy. That's just fabulous. I love it. I've never been to New Jersey. Okay. And I'm not even going to lie and tell you that I watched Jersey Shore to know. I'm not even going to throw that out there either because I didn't. But isn't y'all's like beach water, you know, like your ocean water, isn't it cold like in the summer? Isn't it still cold, or is that in like California? I don't know. I'm Texas all the way through, and we don't really like our own beaches here, but we go, you know, like
that is so true, Amy. I mean, yeah.
But we go because it's so freaking hot. Okay. When it's 110 degrees, but it feels like 115, you will do anything to escape the heat. So I'm just curious, because if your water's cold, I may just come. I may come.
It is cold. It is. I mean, again, I don't even set foot in it, but from what I've heard, it's cold, but it is nice. We do have dolphins and sometimes the occasional shark and stingrays and everything. So it really is fun to just kind of sit and watch. But also we have a lot of really fun things on our boardwalk. So if anybody I know wants to go to the beach, I'm like, y'all can go there and, you know, play with the fish there, but I'm going to.
I'm dying to ask a question. Valerie, it was a great interview, and you've made, I have so many questions because of the two of you talking. During the last decade, it became a thing in Japan. Teenage and 20-something young women in Japan had this thing about reading short novels on their phone because it was a thing that they would do on the way to work and on the way home. So, but did that contribute to your developing your concept any of these short books? Because this is like, and what's the percentage of people of women buying your books to men? What's the percentage of within that demographic? And because I'm wondering if people are reading your small books on their phone.
We do have ebooks, so you can purchase the ebooks, and we do work with the libraries, so we do have readers who go on Hoopla and read the books, and it's easy to kind of have that app on your phone. In terms of the demographic, what I've noticed is because we have like a mix of authors, we get like kind of a mix of demographic as well. And we don't really see anyone kind of favoring one book over the other based on their demographic. Sometimes we just have people that just say, I've never read any of these. And they come to an event that we're having and they just pick random ones, or they'll say, pick for me. And then we have to kind of play that game. But in terms of the short books, it's funny that you mentioned that. Because when we started this, we didn't have the pocket size idea. It was actually just a short book. So our original one and done's, and anyone who's bought one at the Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market all those many years ago can attest to this. They were actually like regular book size, which didn't fit the pocketbook idea. So we've shortened that over the years, but that was kind of like synchronicity. Like we didn't notice there were a lot of pocketbooks. And when we were in the midst of, we already had this series. I was in a bookstore and I picked up Convenience Store Woman, which is this amazing pocketbook novel by an amazing Japanese author. And I love that idea. And I love that there were these pocket-sized books. So, but I also know that there are different publishers that do this in different ways, but it is themed in a way. So whether it's about something that's kind of a comfort, or you have the 33 and a third, which is about music. So we were broader with our theme. And it's just kind of like anything that you can read in kind of a short little piece. But I do see that that is something that's kind of all over the world. And I think it's a testament to how none of us have time to read.
Yes. Oh, and, I mean, I totally get it because I have an audiobook I listen to in the car. I have a CD book I listen to in the office. I have another book I read at night, a real book.
Valerie, what kind of aged book do you have on CD?
I was going to ask, did you have those?
What the hell?
Yes, I get them from the library.
Yes.
And I have a stereo in my office. Why judge?
I'm judging on that. I'm judging on listening to a CD.
No, it's the library offers it. So I'm going to grab it. If it's a way I can get my book faster, then I will definitely do it.
I thought the only people that use CDs anymore were lawyers.
Well, I have a stereo in my office. It's an old school stereo. I'm not going to throw it away. It still works.
I was going to ask you. I was like, does your computer still play those? Because mine does not. And even when I go to the doctor's office and you get an X-ray or whatever at your doctor's office now, it's just a QR code. And I remember you used to get the disc and stuff. And they're like, none of our computers play CDs anymore. So that's why I was curious, because I was like, do people really still make CD books? But it's good to know. If that happens, because I know the library still has DVDs, right? And I understand.
Yes.
So that's what I was mostly shocked and curious about. I wasn't a judgment by any means.
I think Amy's judging too.
I was a fascination.
At least I admit that I'm judging.
This is just my personal choice. Okay, whatever. However it makes
I can say nothing. I have a CD player too. I have a CD player. I spent many an hour burning CDs from Napster. I am not giving them up. I have a CD player.
Exactly.
I love it. Stick to your guns, okay? Stick to it and stand by your decision to get a CD book. Stick to it, okay? I love it.
And then it looks like you have a book coming out in July as well.
Yes. So that's my campus novel. So just as I was kind of putting this together and thinking about when I wrote this in college, I wanted to try my hand at a campus novel. So it's about a group of college kids who go to a really, really bad off-campus party.
Does anybody get killed?
No, but there's a lot of true crime references because that is a thing. That is definitely a thing. And it's also, it's a combination of my experiences, but also I've been an adjunct professor for 15 years. And so this is kind of like my homage to my students as well, because sometimes they say things to me and I am the opposite of the person who should be hearing those things.
I like how you said it. Kind of some of the things that you did that made me chuckle, because I was like, so this book is about the party that you went to. Let's not lie.
Yes, absolutely. The worst wine and cheese party. And I say wine and cheese loosely. So
I totally get that. That's like Proustian, because you're like remembering the back on our scuba while we were coming back from our scuba, they were trying to pass out punch with rum in it. And it almost made me puke because it reminded me of college. I was like, man, I've had all of that junk. I ever want the rest of my life.
Yes.
It's true. It's a visceral reaction. It really is.
Yeah, you have bad memories. Like,
But then that's the good stuff too, because you know that you did that together. Like, you had that horrible experience with a group of people who will only understand that.
Exactly. And there's good memories there too. A lot of good memories too.
Yeah.
So it's the memories of your youth, right?
Yeah. It really is. And I feel like when I started teaching, I was not much older than my college students. And now I'm much older than them and I'm really starting to feel it. So I teach comic books and I had a student say to me, well, I don't really like learning about Batman. He's like 30. It's really, you know, it's too old to learn. I was like, all right.
Okay, that's funny as hell. That was funny.
No, they didn't.
I was they totally do. 30.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to accuse Amy of being 12 till she hit like 35. I don't do that.
I'm not even 35 yet. Oh my God. I will be 32 in June, Russell. Oh my gosh. If it's not,
I guess everyone just thought you were 35. I don't know.
Intellectually, maybe. Okay, I'll take that.
Oh, you're way past that.
I will do that. But, you know, if you ever hear Russell, I have 500 children, I have two. But because they're so close, I'm careless. So just to fill
she
you
is
in,
very careless. She was dynamic. Careless one time. Now, Amy can do 50 things at once. She can take. We've already seen her. She's doing this show, dealing with hot chocolate and her daughters. She's got like 3 speeches to prepare. She's got 4 books and novelists to deal with. She can do all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think she's 35. I think she's older than 32.
I've read 36 books this year, and they have been all books in which I have, in some realm of another, helped promote, publish, or push out and brought back to life. I've read so many books, and it's only March, and you can see the chaos in which I have dealt with. So I don't sleep much because
plus she's a property investor. That's amazing. Yeah. Right. Well, she's a property investor.
And almost has a brand new home stuff. Being under construction.
That is the scariest thing, you guys. I would rather take dealing with 500 unhappy authors, my kids crying and banging at my door and having to put up with Josh, you know, selling his motorcycle than to take this leap of
being
a landlord. He still has one, okay?
It's a crime. She made him sell one of his motorcycles.
I suggested
and she
put
the money
it.
To buy her a car.
It wasn't enforced. It was suggested, and he took
me
up on
I get
it.
Those suggestions all the time. They're enforced.
That's what happened, anyways. And then to take this leap of faith of being a landlord because it's me that's going to do it because
it's brilliant.
So it's scary, but it's fun. So we're going to venture down this happy, exciting, hot mess avenue in which my life has brought such joy to Russell, at least today.
It's been a great day. Everybody's made me happy today. Oh, with their funny, self-deprecating stories. It makes me happy.
So many.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad that we could do that. But I know that we are coming up close to our time, and I want to make sure everybody still has their closing questions, comments, statements before we go over on time. Russell, you get to go first today.
Okay, I do have a criticism for our publisher. You haven't told the audience 14 times how to get a hold of you if they want to read your stuff or if they want to be authors to contact you. You should have told us 14 times. Tell us now.
So, you know, thank you for that, because I am, my brain is fried. It's what's, I don't even know what time it is and my brain's already fried. Yes. So real talk, I am complete garbage at my own author page completely, because I try to put everything kind of first. But if you go to readfearlessly.com, it is the very well-maintained website, because that is all I think about. It's maintaining that website. My co-publisher and I, Adam Wilson, who's also an author, that's all we do. So if you go to readfearlessly.com, you're going to see right on the front page our beautiful one and done series. So you could explore the whole thing and see what works for you. We also have our submissions. So the one and done series is ongoing. So you could submit at any time. We're going to open it up for our third New Jersey anthology, because we love New Jersey, so we want that. And then our rolling submissions start in the fall.
We should have started with that. That's like a big deal. You have an ongoing submission.
Ongoing submissions, yes. Because the one and done's, again, this is something that is something we can work together. It's easier to get through. So we love them. Keep them coming. We want the series to last.
ReadFuriouslyPublishing.com.
Just ReadFuriously.com.
I like it.
So it's Mallory, right there.
It's all you. Last minute questions, comments, statements from you. Mallory.
Me? Oh, yeah. Okay. I was waiting for you to say somebody's name. Yes. Okay. Samantha, I am so excited for you and all this cool just push of literature coming out of y'all's company. That's incredible. And just exposure for all the different authors to, you know, take a chance and get their stuff out there. And I'm sure the readers appreciate it too. So kudos. Great job.
I hope so. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I'm thinking of every day.
Yes. I love it. Well, Samantha, it's always so much fun when we get together and me and you have chit chats and Mickey comes and joins in with us. But having you on today has been so much fun. I'm excited that I get to work with you and to read your books. And so I know everybody else is equally as excited and they should go out and get it. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your early afternoon to come hang out with us on this morning and talk about your publishing company and your book and what amazing things that you have going on for you guys. So thanks so much for coming and joining us.
Thank you. Y'all are so much fun. I don't want to leave. This is so much fun.
It's been a fun day.
You're welcome back anytime. Please. Anytime.
This was great. This was perfect. This is just what I needed.
Oh, perfect. But we hope that everybody that's watching now or listening to the replay, we hope you all have a fantastic Monday, a great rest of your week. But until next Monday, you guys, we'll talk to you then. Bye, everybody.